NPR.
The coronavirus shows no signs of slowing down this week. The number of cases keeps mounting, and the economic impact keeps getting bigger and bigger. Today, the markets were down almost 800 points.
And that's a lot. If you had your money in American stocks today, you lost almost 3% of it.
Yes.
And that was in spite of the fact that the Federal Reserve cut interest rates this morning in an effort to stimulate the economy. Fed Chair Jerome Powell made the announcement this morning, saying that although the coronavirus has only recently arrived in the U.S., the economic harm is already happening.
The virus and the measures that are being taken to contain it will surely weigh on economic activity, both here and abroad, for some time. We are beginning to see the effects on the tourism and travel industries, and we are hearing concerns from industries that rely on global supply chains.
A lot of business travel and conferences have been canceled due to the virus, and thousands of people have put off their vacations.
And like Chair Powell says, the supply chain is having a big effect, too, because China is such a global economic force. It is involved in the making of products all over the world. Things like iPhones and laptops and tablets have many components made in China. Also, sportswear relies heavily on China, as do food companies and car makers.
Now, some Chinese factories have started reopening, and the country claims to be getting a handle on the virus. But cases outside of China, those are now rising. And they're disrupting travel, business, and life in countries like Japan, South Korea, and Iran. They've reported hundreds, in some cases thousands, of confirmed coronavirus cases.
As has Italy. More than 2,000 cases of coronavirus have now been reported there. The rest of Europe is watching to see how Italy responds and the economic impact the virus is having on northern Italy, which is the economic powerhouse of the country. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, the coronavirus in Italy. We speak with Luigi Zingales, professor of finance at the Chicago Booth School of Business, and the co-host of the podcast, Capital Isn't.
It's a podcast about what is working in capitalism and what isn't.
You are from Italy.
Indeed.
I mean, I'm just
guessing.
It's
my name and accent. Yeah, you are like Sherlock Holmes, yeah. In case the name was not enough, the accent, I think, is pretty revealing.
Nice. A conversation with Luigi Zingales right after the break.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Microsoft Teams, where you can contribute to meetings from anywhere, chat with coworkers, and find all your files in one place. Ready to unleash the power of your team? Open Teams. More at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Support also comes from the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. Now when you go out, you cash in. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply.
So, Luigi Zingales, economist from the Chicago Booth School of Business, thank you for joining us. Just to start out, where are you from in Italy?
I grew up actually in Padua, that now you might know where it is because it's one of the epicenter of the coronavirus.
Yes, I've actually never been there, but I know it's in northern Italy, which is definitely known as the economic powerhouse of the country, right? I mean, the big car companies are there, like Fiat and Ferrari, also in Milan, which is nearby and has also been hammered by the coronavirus. You've got the fashion houses, the financial center, telecom. I mean, this is not the part of Italy you want to see shut down.
If you talk to any Italian, say, oh, Italy is a disaster, but Milan is great. So now put that into context and you see how bad Italy is.
Right, right. Do you think a lasting impact on Italy's economy? Or is it just kind of a temporary shock?
The economic implications are pretty severe because, number one, we're very integrated with China. So why the coronavirus is so diffuse in Italy? And I think that's very interesting because this is related to the industrial structure of Italy. Italy is very integrated with manufacturing of China.
Oh.
So people don't understand that, but just two factoids. Both my brother and the ex-husband of my sister were in China in January.
So for work?
For work. Yeah, not for tourists, for work. So this is very diffuse. Forget the spread of the disease. Just the spread of the delay in the supply chain will cause a slowdown of northern Italy. To that, you add the slowdown of China leads to a slowdown in the world trade. Italy is highly dependent on world trade, so that will lead by itself a slowdown of Italy. So there are two causes that has basically nothing to do with the virus directly, which are supply chain and global demand. To this, you add two factors. Number one, tourism that is going to be impacted. The summer, Easter season, for example, is the lovely time which everybody travels and which all the places are full. It's not going to be like that. Okay, so that's problem number one. And problem number two is, I think when you see all these things, the last thing you think about is buying a new car, replacing your refrigerator, or, God forbid, buy a new house. Okay, so demand is going to slow down. So this is the moment. I have never been a big supporter of the fiscal stimulus, but if there is one case in which this is badly needed, is now. Okay? And should not be approved tomorrow, should be approved today, because one thing we know very well from the fiscal stimulus is they take time to have an effect. We should intervene very fast. Now, the problem is that Italy does not have the fiscal capacity to do that. In a normal union, would be the union intervening. Unfortunately, Europe is not a normal union. But there is the global economy that, if the stock market is an indication, is not looking so great in this moment. And there is the repercussion of the global economy slowdown. That is going to be hard.
What do you hear from your friends and family in Padua?
I still have my mother alive in Padua at 92. So for many years, I've been going back and forth and seeing her. And I have still some friends that are my age, my classmates, and they tell me that actually Padua is doing remarkably well. My friends are rather relaxed. I'm worried, of course, about my mother because she is in the most exposed situation. What I hear in Padua, there not being a panic scene of people running on the supermarket and empty every shelves.
Oh, like there have been in China. Like they're not huge runs on toilet paper and face masks.
Yes, but in Milan there've been. One of my friends told me that the most shocking thing is that even in the most chic and expensive parts of Milan, they've been run to the supermarkets. So it must be that even the elites are pretty preoccupied and they rush to load up not only on toilet paper, but also on pasta.
Well, you've got to have something to eat, right?
Exactly, exactly. The good news is Italy is a beautiful country to visit as soon as this is finished. People want to come back. And I hope that by the summer this is solved. And so tourists will start going back and slowly Italy will go back.
Luigi, thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Today's episode of The Indicator was produced by Lena Sansgiri, fact-checked by Brittany Cronin, edited by Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Also, we are looking for our next Planet Money Indicator intern.
Join us.
Yeah, and if this is a job that might interest you, the application is due on Monday, March 9th, and you can find it at our Twitter feed, that's at The Indicator, or email us about it at indicator@npr.org. Again, for the procrastinators amongst you, that's Monday, March 9th. It's due by 4:59 EST.
So start by 4:57 at the latest.
458.
458.